it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Okay, what's going on? Happy Wednesday. It is Steinberg and Vickers along with you. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk. It's Wednesday, July 2nd, our first regularly scheduled Flames Talk of a new month and for the month of July. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. What's going on, buddy? How are we doing?
Just having the times, man.
Vic and I just got back from development camp up at Winsport.
Thanks for the carpool, by the way.
You're welcome. I wish it could have gone a little quicker.
Well, I mean, you drove relatively fast. Law-abiding citizen over here. I just want to make that very clear.
A very short window to be able to get here to do the show on time as regularly scheduled. And lots of development camp content to come your way. Ray Edwards, the director of player development for the Calgary Flames, later on this hour here on Flames Talk, and more from Flames development camp over the next few days here on the program. Text lines open at 960-960 if you want to jump in and chat. So the Flames don't do much on day one of free agency. Joel Hanley gets re-signed. That happened about 90 minutes before free agency opened. Ivan Prospetov, late in the day on Tuesday, the goaltender, gets signed. Kind of not surprisingly, that was kind of expected for about a month. And when Dan Vladar left to go sign with the Philadelphia Flyers, it became that much more likely that Prospetov was going to sign in Calgary. They added a depth defenseman as well, but very quiet, all things considered. I've seen some people happy with that. I've seen some people upset with that. Honestly, I think at this stage of the game, with a team that has now missed the playoffs for two consecutive seasons, and I'm aware that they missed the playoffs by 1 point this past year, and I know that they had themselves a really promising year, but this is still a team that has missed the playoffs for 2 years in a row, or 3 years in a row, actually, they've missed the playoffs. And so this is not the time for them to be going and diving in on big UFA contracts, nor is it the time for them to be putting themselves in overpay candidacy. Like, that's just not what this team should be doing right now. And so if they landed one or two of their targets, different story. But the alternative of just spending for the sake of spending, Vicks, I think quiet at this stage in Calgary's build is a whole lot better than loud, if the loud is also going to be not very pleasant.
Well, and I understand why there would be some circles or spheres that are, I don't know if upset's the right word, but disappointed that Craig Conroy didn't open the vault and start tossing out millions and millions of dollars around. Calgary has ample cap space. Why not do it? Well, you don't want to handcuff yourself giving out a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of term, because at some point you're going to run out of cap space. If everything goes according to plan on this retool, this rebuild, whatever you want to call it, you're going to have a lot of players you're going to need to pay should they hit their development peaks. Why handcuff yourself today when you don't have to, when you're going to need to reallocate some funds down the road? And to me, Craig Conroy going out and not spending, him being pragmatic in his approach to free agency, this might sound a little too pat on the back-ish for myself, but he did exactly what I would do in that scenario. Sit on your wallet. Yes, you're going to need a backup goalie or to bring somebody in.
Where's Wes?
I did that specifically for Mr. Gilbertson. But you needed a backup goalie and or to create competition in net. You chuckles. You having a good time over there?
I'm trying to think exactly what comment Wes would make right now about you sitting on your wallet. Anyway, continue.
So you've addressed your goaltending depth. Boom. You're done there. You needed some help on the left side defense. You did that with Hanley. You made a couple other sort of depth moves. Other than that, you didn't really necessarily need to do anything. This team's window isn't opening next season. You don't need to bring in 8 free agents at X number of dollars and significant term lengths to accomplish what you're supposed to be doing at this stage of the plan for Conroy.
So this was Craig Conroy kind of summing things up on day one of free agency, July 1st. I'm curious as to how you thought the Flames did and how you thought the GM did on day one or throughout free agency now into its second day. This is the GM summing it up on Tuesday afternoon.
There was people we targeted And once those guys were gone, you know, we've always said we have a plan. We have to stick to it, and we can't deviate just because other teams are signing players. And for us, we still have our young players, and all these teams that have signed players now have taken spots away from young players. You know, so for us, I think even though we haven't done anything, you're going to see more opportunity for our guys and a better competition. And if I'm a young player right now, you know, sitting at home thinking, huh, they haven't done much, you know, that's, I'm going to work even harder this summer because I want to make that team. So it sends a little bit message to our young guys. But again, if we thought there were some players that we liked and thought these would be good fits, and you know, it's a puzzle, and you don't want to just put a different piece in the wrong spot. You want to make sure it fits, and that's what we did today.
It's easy to go and spend all your money. I will grant you that.
It's probably harder not to spend it, to be honest.
Well, and we've seen, I would think so, especially for a general manager that, and look, and I'm not trying to suggest anything, because I'll be the biggest advocate for this to change, and I think it should and will change. But as of right now, Craig Conroy's entering the third year of a three-year contract. As of right now, we're talking about a guy who's entering the final year of the contract that he signed. And so it would be really easy. I put myself in those shoes. It'd be really easy to be like, oh, I gotta impress this year, so I'm gonna go and, you know, be even more aggressive. Right. But to be judicious, to stick to your plan, and to not try to do things differently, even though you've only got 1 year left on your current contract, I think there's something to be said for that. Now, I believe that the Flames should, and I am optimistic they will change that in the next number of months. Like, if I'm the Flames, I'd be re-upping both Conroy and Huska right away, just because what's the point of going into a season with lame duck situations or that distraction? And you can always make changes down the road, but like, at least have that set and be able to put that to your players that, hey, what the plan that we're going with, we're going to stick with. That's for another day. I digress. I just think it is a whole lot easier to go and get number six on your list because you missed your first five and still sign him to a significant deal. Try to hit your targets. If you don't hit your targets, be fine with not doing anything and being quiet. And I think that that's a good thing. That's what the Flames did, because they didn't give out a bad contract yesterday.
Right.
And did they get significantly better yesterday from where they were last season? No, they didn't. But at the very least, they didn't put themselves, and very positively, they didn't put themselves in a potential bad spot in a couple of years' time. And I think that's important.
Well, and even listening to that clip you played from Conroy, this is what half or three quarters, or maybe the loud minority of fans, by not doing anything, and again, respectfully not doing anything, in terms of a big splash, creates opportunity for the young players. So if you're Team Tank, or if you're what have you, you've got more opportunity for the young guys that you want to see in a Flames jersey sooner rather than later, because you're not adding players that'll have significant money, significant term, eat up spots that might go to a younger player. From a prospect pool perspective, you're creating competition amongst that U23 group, looking to see who's going to take a step forward, but you're not putting in any roadblocks for them if they do find success.
Let's go through kind of what we saw on day one, and maybe let's start in net, because losing Dan Vladar was not the ideal. I think the ideal situation for the Flames and what they would have liked to see is Dan Vladar come back and have a tandem of Dustin Wolf as the number one and Dan Vladar as the number two. The problem is, if you're Dan Vladar, that's very nice that a team would like you to come back, but you'd also like to potentially see if you can find a spot where you're not going to be the clear number two. And so when Philadelphia comes calling with a two-year contract at $3.35 million, when Philadelphia comes calling with an opportunity to play significantly more if you earn it than what you're going to get in Calgary, then I don't care how well Dan Vladar plays next year if he's a member of the Flames, Dustin Wolf is still probably right, getting the lion's share of the starts. And it isn't going to be quite the same meritocracy. Dustin Wolf is this team's number one. And that was going to be Dan Vladar's lot in life if he stayed with the Flames. And so the Flames had a competitive offer on the table. an offer that the Vladar camp was very happy with. They felt it was fair, and they considered that offer right up until he signed with Philadelphia. But now you get a two-year deal that's given you a $1.15 million raise on the AAV from last year, and you get a significant bump in potential playoff time. As Craig Conroy said, like they understood why Dan Vladar signed in Philadelphia. No sour grapes at all. They would have loved to have him back, but they also understand how this situation played itself out.
Dan was very honest. Dan was good. He loved Calgary. He no issues with coming back. He would have been more than happy to. The issue was probably more Dustin took the starting job, and he took the net, and you know, he was hoping to play more games and be the starter in the NHL. And I think he thinks he going to Philly is an opportunity for him to do that. So, you know, I can never, yeah. You know, like he said, I'm 28, Craig. I want to be a starter. Totally understand that.
That's what you said all along, right? It's his right to make that decision. And probably Philadelphia's goaltending situation way more wide open than it is here. As Logo asked you over in the media lounge, like probably couldn't compete with the playing time that could be available in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think he probably would have targeted two or three teams where he thought, okay, if they had interest in me, you know, this might be a better path than me being a starter in the NHL. Because, I mean, I think we all believe that Dustin took a huge step this year, and he's going to be the guy in the net for the majority of the games next year. I mean, I think the fans, when they want him to play every game, I'm like, we can't play him every game, guys. Yeah. Like, but, you know, when you talk to Dustin, he'd be more than happy to play every game. He's like, I've played back-to-back. I'm fine. You know, that's what I've done in the minors.
So Dan Vladar knew he wasn't going to be playing a lot here. He had an opportunity. Look, with Ivan Fedotov and Sam Ersson in Philadelphia, neither of those guys have proven they're going to be number ones. Neither of those guys have proven that they need to be getting the lion's share of work in Philly. Why couldn't Dan Vladar go in and play 45, 50, 55 games next year? If he plays up to the potential he believes he has and takes advantage of the opportunity that's given to him, why couldn't Vladar, the highest paid goalie on the Philly roster, go in there and get the type of playing time that he craves?
Well, I think he already jumps Fedotov on the depth chart, to be perfectly honest, and the path to playing more games by out-dueling Sam Ersson instead of Dustin Wolf is a lot more tangible. So even if the exact same contract, and I don't know whether or not they were, but even if you have two identical contracts in front of you, one's from Calgary, one's from Philadelphia, and I am Dan Vladar, 10 times out of 10, I respectfully to Calgary, because it's the organization you maybe grew up in is a little exaggerated, but his last 4 years were spent
here. Hockey-wise, he grew up here.
It was his first opportunity in the NHL. But I look at Philly, and I go, if I want to play 50 or 55 games, I can't do that in Calgary. There isn't a scenario. There isn't a path in Calgary. But if I just have to beat Ersson out, I can see the route, I can see the path, I can see how I can become a 1A, at worst a 1B in the Flyers organization a lot more clearly than I could with the Flames.
And I don't know if any type of contract the Flames were going to offer, they could have offered 2 times 3.5 and gotten 400,000 more. I don't think Vladar was going to take it because the opportunity here was not going to be like the opportunity in Philly. Then you add on the fact that he got a raise, a nice 2-year deal, all those types of things. Like, I'm happy for Dan. Anybody criticizing the Flames for not keeping Dan Vladar, like, you weren't keeping him. Dustin Wolf is this team's number one goalie. Dustin Wolf is the best goaltending prospect the Flames have had in decades and maybe the most promising part of this team's future going forward. Of course he's going to be the guy getting the lion's share of the work, and of course he's going to be the guy that you put all your eggs into the basket. So if you're the Flames, you offer a competitive contract, you be straight up with Dan, and then you leave it in Vladar's camp to make the decision that's best for them, and they did. And I don't think the Flames begrudge the Vladar camp at all. As you just heard from the GM, I don't think Vladar has anything bad to say about his time in Calgary. And I don't know, like, if there's anything that the Flames could have done to change this situation.
Well, and to be perfectly honest, it's just as much about the next contract as it is this one for Dan Vladar, if I'm his agent and I'm advising him, because he will be 28 in August. 2-year deal. If you're in Calgary playing behind Dustin Wolf, you're not going to get the opportunity to cash in at 30. But if you manage to wrangle the crease away from Ersson, you have an opportunity when that deal expires at age 30 to prove you are at least a 1A. You have a lot more runway to cashing in on the next contract than you would if you were a member of the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. So now Dan leaves, and your tandem's in flux. Mm-hmm. You've got Dustin Wolf as your number one. I think there's a lot of intrigue as to what year two as a full-time NHLer looks like for Dustin Wolf. Like, is this a guy that does what other lots of other goalies have done, where maybe it gets off to a great start but takes a step back? Or is this a guy that we know how committed this guy is? We know how serious this guy takes the business. We know how he has never rested on his laurels, how competitive he is. Maybe it's a Dustin Wolf who busts his ass like he has been all summer to this point and takes a step forward next year. I don't know, but I do know that they've got a question mark behind him
right
for next season. So last summer, they signed Devin Cooley to a two-year contract. The first year was a two-way contract. The second year, a one-way contract. So they've got a one-way contract for Devin Cooley next season, who had a great first half in the American League and a frustrating not-so-great second half in the American League. You've got Ivan Prosvetov, who they signed to a one-year contract at $950,000, I believe. Was it $950 or $975? Anyway, he becomes the highest-paid goalie on the roster as a result. But Ivan Prosvetov comes in, and he hasn't played in the NHL for a couple of years, but put up great numbers last year with CSKA Moscow in the KHL. You've got a full-blown competition behind Dustin Wolf going into training camp and maybe beyond. This was what Craig Conroy had to say about that on Tuesday.
Great opportunity for both guys, you know, and that's what the NHL is all about. It's about competition, pushing each other and trying to get better. And it really is. I mean, if I'm a goalie and I want to be in the NHL, this is a great chance for me.
Yep.
You know, so one of them's got to grab it. And, you know, then we have other younger guys that are going to be in the mix too, and they're going to try to steal that job.
And it was $950 that Prosvetov signed for. Thank you, Vix. So it's a wide open competition, a great opportunity for Prosvetov to return to the NHL and prove that this is the league that he belongs in. Last year in the KHL with CSKA Moscow, appeared in 38 games at a .920 save percentage, went 20-16-2 with one of the best teams in that league. The year before that, had decent-ish numbers with Colorado in his final stop in the NHL before heading back to Russia, but wants to come back to the NHL. And here's an opportunity in Calgary. You're playing behind a really good goalie in Dustin Wolf, and you've got a little competition with Devin Cooley, who was the American League's best goaltender for the first half of the season before the All-Star break and a concussion kind of derailed things. And he was never really able to get it back on the rails to that point, to the extent that in some important games, they weren't starting Devin Cooley down the stretch. And I think he went and saw a specialist at some point to work on some things. But when it's all said and done, you've got two guys that there's potential with. You've got two guys that you like what they could be. But you also have two guys that you don't know what they're going to be. And it shapes up to be a really interesting competition through training camp. And I think it could be one of those things that lasts well into the regular season where both guys get some time behind Dustin Wolf at the NHL level.
Yeah, I'm worried isn't the right word. There's uncertainty in that backup spot, which concerns me when you have a goalie as young as Dustin Wolf being your number one. And that's why Vladar made so much sense coming back. Now, again, we're not going to fault Vladar for going and exploring more opportunity for himself, but this will really come down to a bit of a battle with Prosvetov and Cooley, as you mentioned. It's there for one of them to take. And which one does, or like you mentioned, it might be a thing that goes through the season, and this isn't just a training camp battle. This is a season-long battle to see who's going to be the backup in Calgary. And I say it concerns me. I don't know anything about Prosvetov. I haven't watched him. I haven't done the pre-scout. I leave it in the hands of Jordan Siglett and his crew in terms of creating this competition for the backup spot. So I'll defer to any comments mm-hmm. to the goaltending staff, the actual experts. We also know how much I dislike scouting goalies because to me they're voodoo and I never played the position. I don't have a great grasp or understanding. I'll make no bones about my expertise as a goalie scout is minimal at best. But that's why I thought bringing Vladar back would have been such a natural fit because the two goalies already have a relationship. We've seen how it works. We've seen how it unfolds. We saw how Vladar was able to insulate Wolf early in the season last year. But now it's on these two other goalies to come in and be able to do the same thing because they're fighting for their NHL lives as well, which competition typically breeds the best out of at least one of them.
And again, it wasn't for lack of trying to bring Vidar back, but in the end, he decided to go with the better opportunity, which I'm never, I don't know, you are not, never going to fault
a guy. I'm a contractor guy, so I'll always lean the side of the player.
And he's betting on himself by going to Philadelphia and staying back in Calgary, and this is not a bad thing. Sometimes safe's the way to go, but remaining with the Flames would have been the safe play for Vidar. He knows it. He knows the team. He knows the locker room. He knows the staff. He knows Dustin. He knows Barbs. He knows Jordan. Like, it would have been the safe call for Dan Vladar. And this is a little bit more of a risk. You don't know Philadelphia. Philadelphia is famous for chewing up goalies and spitting them out. And you have a little bit less, there's less of a safety net. There's no Markstrom, and there's no kind of future anointed number one in Wolf, where the spotlight is more on them than it's going to be on you. So yeah, it's a risk. But he's betting on himself, and I'll always applaud a guy for doing the same thing, especially when, as Craig said, Dan Vladar was straightforward and transparent and honest with them the entire time. And while the door was open right into free agency on Tuesday, the opportunity came about that he just couldn't pass up. And finally, Flames make a depth signing on defense, and they bring back Joel Hanley. And look, it's a 2-year deal, 1.75 for Joel to return to this Flames blue line. And leading into free agency, I had been of the opinion that letting Hanley walk was probably the way to go, because I thought it was in Calgary's best interest. Two things. Number one, see what you can upgrade in free agency. Is there somebody on the left side that you can find in free agency? And if you're going to do that and bring Hanley back, it kind of blocks a spot for a young player. They had some targets on left defense. I think their top target was Ryan Lindgren. Lindgren signs in Seattle instead. And I think what you were seeing, and we'll play the clip from Craig Conroy here, but I think what you were seeing is, as we moved closer to 10 a.m. on July 1st, and now it's June 30th, you're seeing more and more players stay with their teams. You had heard Colorado was really making a run at trying to keep Lindgren, and you probably got the word that he wasn't going to sign here. So now all of a sudden you're like, okay, if we're not going to get our targets, we probably need to make sure that we have some sort of insurance policy and somebody that we can trust. And that's exactly what Joel Hanley is. One of the great feel good stories over the last little while. So this is what the GM had to say about re-signing Joel Hanley.
You start seeing where everybody's signing their own guys. Everybody's coming off the board before it even gets to that point. So, you know, when you get to that point, we know how valuable Joel was, where he could play with McKenzie. He could play with a guy like Zane. He up and down the lineup. He can do so many things for us, and he's versatile. And you start thinking, okay, if we don't get anybody, you know, and there's a possibility some of these guys we aren't going to get, why wouldn't we just sign, you know, in my mind, I talk myself, we have to do this. Joel's the perfect guy for us. We need to. You know, and then luckily when I called talked to Lewis's agent, and we were able to get the thing done pretty quick the other day, and he wanted to come back.
Yep.
And I, you know, and I think when the guys were texting me that they were so happy to have him back, because I know he's such a big part of it, and he played so well for us that, you know, when I think now what we paid maybe for Joel, it's a deal compared to some of the signings I've seen out there.
So that was the GM on Tuesday, and so They had their targets, and the original thought was maybe Joel was going to hit free agency and then they might circle back. Well, they circle back right before free agency on the day before to get the job done, and the signing gets announced on Tuesday morning. So, and you can understand why. If you get the word that Lindgren probably isn't going to sign and the other targets that you had might have signed with their other teams, we don't want to be completely caught out either. And this still leaves room, because I think the guy that's on the hot seat now is Jake Bean. Jake Bean enters the final year of his contract and did not have a great first year in Calgary. And now you've got some of these other players. You got them tied to Bowen Byram, perhaps, on left defense. And Hanley has passed Bean on the depth chart. And who knows what Kuznetsov does? Kuznetsov had a hell of a year in the American League. Maybe he takes a step and earns a third pairing left side spot and takes it right from Jake Bean in training camp. So I think I was concerned about keeping Hanley and signing somebody in free agency. They don't get a guy in free agency. So it makes a whole lot more sense to then, okay, instead of letting him get to the market like the original plan, circle back, get it done before he gets to market so that you don't potentially lose what could have been a nice second option for you.
Well, it could have been a disastrous game of musical chairs for Conroy if he's waiting for a lefty. Hanley goes to market and goes elsewhere. You don't get Lindgren. Maybe there's three or four other guys on your board that is either not a fit or goes for more than what you were thinking of. And suddenly you have nobody. Now you have Kevin Ball, you have Jake Bean, and then you're hoping for a third guy to come up. That's not even considering a fourth or a fifth guy. Well, now Hanley, for what he signed for, first of all, 2 years. I wasn't a big fan of signing anybody that wasn't between the ages of 23 and 27, unless it was short term. This is a 2-year deal. This is short term for me. And the dollar number, to be perfectly honest, a little irrelevant on a 2-year deal, but it's still a number that I thought.
And irrelevant when the Flames have
zero cap concerns. Yeah. But like if he had gone to market, I feel like he might have got more than what he got with the Calgary Flames as well, to be perfectly honest with you. So from a budgetary standpoint, that point's kind of moot, but I think you're getting him at a fair number and a fair term. And what happens is, you mentioned Kuznetsov. What if Kuznetsov and Solovyov come into camp, blow the doors off, and suddenly take that second and third pair? We already know what Hanley is as a seven and how versatile he is and how much of a good soldier he'll be for you in that room. And it does put pressure on Jake Bean, but the signing of Hanley, to me, doesn't roadblock one of your young left-shot defensemen, because if they jump Hanley in the depth chart, so be it. Does it put pressure on a couple of other veterans, including Bean? Absolutely. But that's the nature of the game. That's the NHL. And signing Hanley to a 2-year deal, to me, doesn't stop a young left-shot defenseman from climbing the ranks.
Text line 960-960. Dylan says, I'm liking what Conroy is doing. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. Now he's got to trade a couple vets. I also think the Raz situation is being heavily overanalyzed. He's only legally been allowed to engage in extension talks with Calgary for 28 hours, never mind other teams. There's time. Conroy's a guy who learns lessons. He's not going to let Hanifin happen again. Fan base needs to chill. That comes from Dylan. This from Dustin, who says, what do you think about Mantha signing in Pittsburgh? Do you think the Flames tabled a similar offer? I was a bit surprised to see he signed for so low with no term after we saw the early chemistry with Huberdeau. I do not think the Flames tabled anything. I think that had he still been available and they felt like they needed to go do something, they would have circled back, but maybe. But I don't think they did table anything. And honestly, with the emergence of Matt Coronato, and with mainly what Matt Coronato did, and to a lesser extent, Adam Klapka, I just don't know. There wasn't really a spot for Mantha. And if you're talking about giving young players opportunity, well, it's a lot harder to do when you start signing guys like Mantha to contracts, Rooney to contracts. So I get why they didn't go down the Mantha road.
Well, and on Mantha, he got a 2-year deal out of Pittsburgh instead of one, which is a little bit surprising for me. But he also got $2.5 million base salary, an additional $2 million in potential bonuses. So in theory, that's a $4.5 million contract per year. That's not necessarily... And if he cashes in on it, that means something went really right for Mantha. But that's not something that I think fits for the Flames.
This is just wondering, on a roster full of vets, it doesn't appear as though there are any spots open for young players. I mean, we get these texts every year, and Sam Hanzek, Matt Coronato make the team out of camp, and then throughout the year, guys solidify themselves. Zarian Pospisil a couple of years ago, Klapka this year, Perek's going to be on
Frost
the team
this year.
Frost and Farabee
are 25. They're not old.
And when you're talking about prospects, I think there's an open spot on the left side. I think there's an open spot for Zane Perek. I think if somebody, one of the forwards, does something really impressive at camp, I think they'd make a spot there. I'm actually not worried about it. I'm even less worried about it going into this camp than I have been in other years.
Yeah, we have not really seen an instance under the Craig Conroy regime where a young player has absolutely proven he deserved a spot and didn't get it.
This reads from Daryl. The Flames are in goaltending trouble. If your Xavier Wolf craps the bed this year, like I predict he's going to, I can't wait to hear you guys talk about that, because it's probably going to happen. He's not as superior as you guys think. God, I hope I'm wrong, but I rarely am. Daryl very confident in his opinion. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen for Wolf in year two. I really don't. But I still think he's the best bet to be your number one goalie for the next 10 or 15 years.
There's no doubt about that. And some people will tell you that the sophomore slump is real. Some people will tell you it's a myth. Goaltending in general have ups and downs. We saw Markstrom be a Vezina finalist one year and then struggle to get to that 900 save percentage mark the next and then rebound to be one of Calgary's better players again. It's a position that is not something that, from my perspective anyway, you can go, okay, he did this once, so he's going to do it year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out. There are some goalies that have that ability. Those are few and far between. I'm not saying
even the best ones.
Yeah, even the best goaltenders have down years. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen to Wolf next season. I'm just saying I can't sit here and say that it will or that it won't because, again, goalies mess me up all sorts of ways.
This says, with Vladar, it's like working for a company that would love to keep you, but they can't offer the raise and promotion the same way other companies could. That's the exact situation that I think we're talking about with Dan Vladar. Okay, Steinberg Vickers, this hour of Flames Talk underway, and the Citywide 50-50 is coming to an end. It's our final week of the Citywide 50-50. Friday is the grand prize draw, which means you still have an opportunity to get in and buy your tickets. They start at $5 for one, all the way up to $100 for 500 tickets, and the best part of this is you get 50% of the grand prize, and Brown Bag for Calgary's Kids gets the other 50%. For over 30 years, they've been dedicated to ensuring every child has access to the food they need to thrive. They're committed to providing low barrier, dignified access to food, ensuring every child feels cared for and supported by their community. Raffle license number 731-699. Go to citywide5050.com to get your tickets. And here's the deal. You're closing in on a $75,000 grand prize. We're up around $150,000 for the grand total, which means you're closing in on $75,000 in your pocket. One more time, if you want to buy tickets for the Citywide 50-50, the grand prize draw on Friday, go to citywide5050.com.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
A little bit of a pivot on the program as some news here on this Wednesday afternoon. Craig Conroy's been saying that feels like things are pretty close on a couple of his RFA players, and one of those RFA players is Morgan Frost per Rick Dhaliwal in Vancouver, and now Elliot Friedman with terms. The Flames and Morgan Frost agreeing on a 2-year contract extension at a $4.5 million AAV. Honestly, this is kind of exactly where you kind of had it ballparked when we were talking about it. Like,
yep,
2 or 3 years and probably right in that $4.5 million, like $4 to $5 million sweet spot for a guy that you still don't know what he is as a member of the Flames. He's a center, which is good. He did some good things on the power play and was a part of a power play that did some good things down the stretch, but also had long stretches where there was not a lot of offense and didn't maybe live up to the expectations for that secondary offense and that stabilizer down the middle that the Flames were hoping for when they acquired him. So you didn't really know exactly what you had in Morgan Frost. And so he comes away, 3 goals, 12 points in 32 games last season. He was acquired alongside Joel Farabee in that trade with Philadelphia on January 31st. This one, I think, is exactly where you'd want it to be if you're the Flames and a Flames fan. And also on the Frost side of things, where you'd want it to be too, right? Like, gives you an opportunity 2 years to try to build yourself a little bit of 2 years to build yourself a little bit of a cushion. And this probably, if I do the quick math, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So yeah, he is 26 now. So he will be UFA when this expires. So this will walk him to unrestricted free agency. It'll buy 1 year of UFA. So he'll be 28 when it expires. So this buys 1 year of RFA, 1 year of UFA eligibility. And it gives you as the Flames an opportunity to, hey, if it doesn't work, he walks. If you want to re-sign him in a year's time, kind of similar to the way they went about things with Sharon Govich. If he pops off as a great year, well, then you sign him to an extension next summer and you lock him in as a long-term member. I think this is a kind of best of both world situations for the Flames and Frost, 2 years and $4.5 million.
Yeah, if I'm Frost, the 2-year sort of contract length is exactly what I'm looking for. I personally think that Frost is better than the numbers showed this past season. 3 goals, 12 points, 32 games after coming over to the Flames. Only shot at 5.2%, which is about half, if not less than half, of what the NHL average is. So he got a little bit of a bad luck or was snake bitten on that front as well. But even if you look at the numbers from Philadelphia, where he had 25 points in 49 games, that's a half point per game player, which typically is a little bit closer to his career average, but still at the same time, he's off those marks. Like, this is a player that had 19 goals and 46 points in 81 games in 2022-23. I think he has the ability and the skill to get north of 50 points perennially. And this is an opportunity for the player to prove that he can get up to that level. And then in 2 years' time, cash in where his stock or his value is a little bit higher, provided that he can prove that he can be more productive. And he'll be settled now in Calgary. He has a summer to get acquainted. We all know how jarring it can be for a player to be traded, particularly mid-season in this situation. But there are too many times I could see Frost carrying the puck, whether it was 5-on-5 or on the power play, but particularly on the power play, be that zone entry guy, set things up, be a bit of a playmaker, maybe not so much a finisher. Again, career high is 19, but at that same time, I think he's got a lot more to give offensively, at least in the results, because he didn't necessarily get them with Calgary. And this contract gives him some financial stability, a little bit of term, but not too much where if you can get to where you think you are as a player, it allows you to cash in 2 years down the road.
I know that, you know, even the Flames were like, okay, what do we have in this player?
Right.
And where do we go on a contract like this? And so I think this works. I think this is exactly what they were looking for as well. You get the two more years of team control. And we're just waiting on what the official dollar figure is, but 4.5-ish is what Elliot Friedman has reported on that deal. I think it's exactly like a guy that has flirted with 20 goals before, a guy that you hope can do that again. He is going to be one of your top three centers for next year behind Backlund, yep, or with Backlund and Kadri. It's a deal that makes a lot of sense on both sides. I really do think that. And so if you're the Flames, I like the flexibility that it gives you a right. lot. If you're Frost, I like the motivation that it might spur in him over the next couple of years. Yeah, I think it's a nice situation. And I think I'm kind of where you are. I take a look at the package of skill and the way that he thinks the game, the offensive instincts. I think there's a little bit more even on the defensive side of things that we have yet to see on the Frost front. I think there is more there. I just don't know at the age of 26 whether or not we're going to see it. Like, you know how there's lots of guys that you feel like there is lots more there, but maybe you just never see it come to the forefront, or you get flashes. Like, Mantha's a perfect right. example. I mean, Anthony Mantha is this extremely tantalizing combination of size and speed and skill and power. And when you see it and when it happens, you're like, holy. And then there are times when it's like, okay, well, he goes stretches without putting it all together, and he can be a frustrating player at times. And I think it's a different type of player that Frost is, but similar idea. High IQ, great skill, really, really good offensive instincts, good face-off guy, but maybe didn't put it all together on a consistent enough basis over 32 games with the Flames. The other thing that I would be banking on or hopeful of if I'm the Flames is that if you're Frost, the transition from a tough season in Philadelphia where he and John Tortorella were not on the same page.
No secret there.
And it then transitions to a new team where you're learning and you're trying to figure out your new teammates. Yeah, I hope that maybe that with a full training camp with Calgary, a little bit more comfort level in this market, all of that, that maybe we can be talking about a little bit of a better player as well.
Well, and you're talking about the risk factor here. If he doesn't become that player that we think he is, and perhaps he's a 35-ish point guy or a 35 to 40 point guy, and he gets passed on the depth chart by more youth, or it just isn't a fit after this 2-year term is up, well, it's only 2 years. So you've got plenty of opportunity from a Frost perspective to prove you are. If it isn't, the Calgary Flames aren't tied to him beyond the 2 years. And again, the money factor, from my perspective, again, it's not my money, I'm not writing the checks, but for the dollar value, it doesn't hamstring anything you want to do beyond the 2 years if it turns out to be a flop on the Frost side. Again, I don't necessarily think it is. I believe he's got 50-point upside, and it's on him to sort of prove that and show that next season over the course of this 2-year deal. But if it ends up being a flop, again, term is only 2 years, so you're fine on that front from the Flames, and you've got ample cap space right now, so it's not something that's going to prohibit you from doing something else later.
I mean, back-to-back 46 and 41-point season.
Right.
Dropped to 37 this year. If you can get him back to a 45-point player next year, 4.5-ish is a really good number for him.
Yeah, like I don't hate that number if he can. Again, I think he can even exceed that. But what I'm saying is if it doesn't end up working out over the duration of this 2-year contract, it's only 2 years, and the dollar value is sort of irrelevant from a cap management perspective, given how much room the Flames have.
And I mean, if all of a sudden over the next year, year and a half, like, or season and a half, shows that what you're talking about, and like all of a sudden we're talking about a guy who's between 50 and 60 points. Well, now you've got a really nice number two center potentially down the road. If Cole Reschny gets to where you hope he gets in a few years, and who knows what next year's draft or trades happen, it's a really nice piece that you could have. And if it doesn't, it was a worthy gamble when they made the trade with Philadelphia. And you give him a couple of years to try to prove what he's all about. And then if it doesn't work out, well, you got a trade deadline piece in the summer or the spring of 2027, or you shake his hand and you go your separate ways in free agency. So I don't really see, honestly, I don't see a whole lot of downside
right.
on this one.
That's a great way to put it, because I was thinking the exact same thing, where it's not too long of a term that you're going to be complicating things if you want to make different moves down the road. And if it does work out and it turns out, say he even exceeds that, say he gets to 65. Well, you're comfortable paying a guy that you've had around for 2.5 years now at this point, especially if he's going to produce at that point too. One of the things that I frequently see on a bridge deal is like, well, what happens if he explodes and he hits that potential and you have to pay him down the road? Perfect. That's kind of what you want. You want guys to maximize their skill set and their potential. And if you have to pay them the money that they deserve, so be it. Like, that's the end goal, is you want to get these players to a point where they're playing at their peak, because that inevitably helps you win games.
Sounds like over at Puckpedia, and Hart over at Puckpedia does a nice job getting these numbers. 4.375 is the final cap. It's a little bit less than the 4.5 even.
Even better.
So that's a solid number again for him. So, yeah, I like the whole thing. I think it's just a solid deal for both sides.
Yeah. I personally, again, I know at what rate he played at. I know how he produced in Calgary or didn't produce in Calgary. 3 goals in 32 games isn't ideal, but I don't think that fairly reflects the skill set, what we saw with the eye test. I'm not going to venture into what his expected goals might have been. Shout out Wes Gilbertson. But I do think that there's a player here that plays more to that 46-point career high set 2 seasons ago, than it does his body of work with the Flames.
Yeah.
And again, to put it the way you did, this is kind of a low-risk situation. They're not necessarily investing a lot of term. And relatively speaking, I understand $4 million a year is still a lot of money, but you're not tying up things, or you're not hamstringing your cap situation or your salary situation or your funds by making this move.
Yeah. So over at Puckpedia, $4.375 million on the AAV. Morgan Frost, 2-year contract extension with the Calgary Flames. That'll be made official at some point a little bit later on this Tuesday, but thought we would react to that as it came down just as we were getting ready to do this second segment. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you. A little Flames talk on a Wednesday edition of the program. I said Tuesday. It's actually Wednesday. Days are
didn't
all
even
messed
notice.
Up. I did. Don't worry. Wednesday edition of Flames Talk. This hour coming to an end. Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. And this hour of Flames Talk coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio. Your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.